Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 111 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually happening, to meet the people that make theater happen. You can find all our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other fine podcast streaming services, and if you have a spare 30 seconds, please do rate and review the podcast on whichever platform you use to help us be more discoverable to listeners who haven't heard about us yet, because that's how it works. And now for this week's podcast. Anyone who caught Dominic Cook's production of Stephen Sondheim's Follies at the National Theater during the 2017-2018 season were witness to a sensational performance by today's guest. And for those of you who didn't get to see it, well, you are in luck, because Tracy Bennett is reprising her role of Carlotta Campion this spring in what promises to be a very popular return run. Joining Bennett will be Janie D and Peter Forms, among others from the original cast, with Joanna Writing and Alexander Hansen replacing Imelda Staunton and Philip Quast as Sally and Ben, respectively. But the opportunity to hear Tracy sing I'm Still Here, absolutely nailing Sondheim's masterpiece of a song, should have punters racing to get tickets. It's such a massive voice that springs from Bennett's diminutive frame that you gotta find yourself asking, where the hell does that voice come from? Well, I had the chance to speak to Tracy during the last run about what it means to sing Sondheim's classic, holding the stage at the Olivier, and just what it means to return to the National to perform. Have a listen.
I'm Still Here is just, I mean, what a gift of a number anyway.
Well, you say that, it's terrifying. It's a nice gift, but it's like, God, it makes me nervous single night. Yeah, and I know people say that, but there are two things off the top of my head. A, yes, it's one of the most iconic musical theatre numbers, and Sondheim, and people have sung it long before me, like legends. And so all that is in my mind, and there was a pressure there to, you know, do it up to a certain level, I guess.
Yeah, you learn about these characters through their songs.
Right.
You know, they're the scenes that they're that move the a central story.
Yeah.
But you really get the characters. And I mean, this, what Joe's singing, is singing right now, is just, I
know, isn't it beautiful? I love Sondheim's simple songs.
Yeah.
They must be the hardest to write, I guess.
Yeah, well,
the irony, but they're just so moving, aren't they?
Yeah.
I Love Not a Day Goes By.
Oh.
From
yeah.
Merrily, and
yeah.
I used to sing that because I was Mary long, long, long ago.
Right.
I think the first one after America did it, and I could barely get through it.
Yeah. No, it is that is one of my favorites of his. I saw it, the last one they did here. At the Pinter, I guess. Was it the Pinter then? Was it comedy? But it was the transfer from the Mini or Chocolate Factory.
Yeah, I saw it there.
Yeah.
Memories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's take it back to the craft part of it. Like, because I know what it's like to be on stage, solely on stage, but obviously nothing is kind of exposing as the Olivier stage in a set that's not closed. So you see the back wall, you see the orchestra, you see everything is open, and then there's you. You know, in that, you know, doing that number. I mean, the craft, like, to fill the stage. I mean, and you're, oh, it's okay. It's all right.
Oh, is that magnetic?
It's all good.
Is that magnetic?
Yeah, it will erase as you go by.
Oh, it's that.
So it's, you know, is it, I don't know. I don't, I mean, you said there was you felt a kind of pressure or whatever, but, like, you know, did anything prepare you for, like, the first time you kind of did it in tech or something when you kind of went, oh, shit, okay, here we are. And then in front of that audience who, they're just looking at you, Tracy, kind of, and going along with you on that ride.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it's quite a lonely track.
Yeah.
You know, when they're all on, I'm off, and when I'm on, they're off, and blah, blah. And I think it's, quite a lonely track for a few of us, really. It's a long song. I've got to make it kind of interesting. Like I said, I'm always hard on myself anyway. You have to prepare for the gig, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
And they all have a different kind of technique to them, I suppose, if you want to talk technical stuff. So you mix the technique with the story and you serve the piece.
Yeah.
You know, you have to really unblock your mind when you know that Sondheim is sitting there in a dress rehearsal and you go, well, it's the first time I've done it with the frock on and stilettos. And it's harder when the stance that you've come to be with the character that's not your own is, it all changes. And then the mic belt's too tight or too slack or, you know, there's all these things that can go wrong. And you're like, get in your light. And so you try and meld that all together, but you know, you prepare yourself in any rehearsal, and no matter how long you get on stage and it changes. But having said that, and don't take this wrong, the work is easy, in effect. It's not rocket science. You know, we're not going down the mines. But mentally, as you get older, it's harder because you don't learn as quick, maybe, or you might get tired quicker or something. So you have to look after yourself even better.
Yeah.
Which means you've got to eat well, you've got to sleep well if you can. And, you know, sometimes if your private life's a bit rocky and, you know, or a family thing going on or a friend is really gravely ill, you know, they don't know that.
Yeah.
They're not meant to know that. And these things can really start melding into your work. So it's a real struggle when you get older, for me, to leave all that at stage door, come in and serve the piece. So the major concentration... It is what's exhausting. It's not the physical thing with me. I'm an ex-dancer, I guess, and I keep myself fit and stuff. But it mentally, you really have a lot to overcome because your life gets bigger, as you know. And so you just hope for the best and you keep doing it for them. I'm not saying you dominate an audience, but you certainly have to lead them on this story and on this journey.
Yeah.
And you can't flail behind that. If that's... Have I answered the question?
That's amazing. You are so incredible. I could talk to you for hours. Can I just ask you one last thing?
Yeah.
Coming to the... You just talked about Stage Door. When you know, I've had the pleasure of working here once, and you kind of come in and you go, oh, my God, you know, I'm home. I feel like I come home. You know, when I come back here, this is an incredible building.
Yeah, it
is. What does it hold for you, the coming through that Stage Door for you?
Well, again, I mean, in well, I'm saying in the day, I'm not talking 1915, but close. a lot of my very, very good friends directed here and acted here in the 70s. And I was doing TV up at Granada when it was Granada ITV. So they all came to... be baby directors on the television, and then they started to do, like, you know, big televisions and stuff, and they trained at the news. So I knew about the National, obviously, but it was always something that I didn't expect to ever work here, because they were doing, in my world at the time, you know, posh stuff. And the women were always 6'10", you know, because they were playing Lady of the Manor or some Lord Lady Manor of this, And so I never thought that was an option. And I don't think they did many musicals as well. So I kind of started on the television route, to be fair. And I kept all the musical training stuff quiet, because in those days they weren't snobby, but they just didn't put the two together like they do kind of in America.
Yeah.
So I was just thrilled to meet them all and hear about the legends and the Olivier stories, and don't forget Lord Plowright was the owner and runner of the Granada, so it was all that. So by default, I'd always hoped to get here, but I never thought it was my place to. So there is in the air the legacy of all that to me, and there's a respect behind all that, but you can't let it affect you, because if you get reverent of anything, it can kind of repress you in a way, and you feel like you can't put a foot wrong. So you just have to embrace it. And of course, I'm a musician, to be honest, and so I get on with the musicians and the crew, and I always have since I started off. So they make it fun as well.
Yeah.
And you know, my wig girl, we laugh and my dresser, for want of a better word, again. In America, you have to say, like, wardrobe attendant. All right, you're dresser. Not a dresser.
Dresser.
Yeah, because it's kind of derogatory, I guess, because they do much more than that. And we just howl.
Yeah.
So that's all good. But everybody's brilliant at what they do here. It's like A-list across the board. And you know, to be fair, my mum and dad taught me respect for it. They used to say, treat your cleaning lady in the office when you grow up the same as the managing director. And I went, yeah, but the managing director's paying me my wage. Mm. Smack across the face. And this is why. Because without that cleaner in your office, you spend 2 hours doing it yourself and then the boss goes mad. So they've got a job to do and so has him. So treat everybody with respect. And that's what I kind of always done, really. Yeah. No matter what they do. Because I know I worked in a factory when I was at school, in the post office at Christmas, and a nice lolly factory, and a checkout girl, you know, and a waitress. So I know that without any of that, you can't get on.
Yeah.
Everybody has something to give.
Yeah.
So I hate it when you see people clicking and whistling at the barmen and stuff. I'm like, don't. There's no dog in here. Yeah, you know. Yeah. So... That said, I actually skip to work. Yeah. And every day, and across the bridge, and it's marvellous having your lunch over the river. Snow, rain, summer, and you start a job in one season and then you end it in another season. So you're having lunch and watching all the seasons. So, again, at my age, I suppose I'm lucky to even stand up, you know. Never mind be employed.
Stop it.
So it's all good.
Oh, brilliant. Listen, thank you so much.
Tracy Bennett backstage at the National Theatre during the original run of Dominic Cook's production of Follies. Now, before we wrap up, if you are a theater professional, head on over to curtaincallonline.com and sign up for a free profile page. All you have to do is create an account with an email address, make up a cool password, and away you go. You can follow us on all the socials. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Curtain Call, all one word, all lowercase. And we'd love to hear from you if you have any suggestions or feedback from the podcast. Just get in touch with me via any of the social media platforms I mentioned or write to me at john@curtaincallonline.com. It just leaves me to say a huge thank you to Tracy Bennett and the entire cast and company of Follies at the National Theater. Guys, do yourself a favor and book tickets if you have the opportunity. It's a beautiful production. And at this point, I would like to point out Vicky Mortimer's design and Polly Constable's lighting, particularly noteworthy here. And I am sure that you are going to have a blast if you manage to get a ticket. Good luck. Break legs. Merde, whatever you say, toy, to the entire cast and company of Follies, opening this February, and I'll put the links in the show notes. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.